I know, it was a really tough day. It was kindergarten, right? And my teacher specifically said, don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand for any reason. And so I was like, I'm going to have to hold this bad boy in. And just didn't work. And then afterward, and I called my mom in, and she's like, why'd you do that? And I said, ma'am, you said do not raise your hand. She's like, well, for that. And I was like, you got to be specific. I said that as a five-year-old. You got to be specific. And then I stormed out of the room.
Well, welcome to Highly Questionable, where I will be very specific in the questions that I ask Israel Gutierrez. That's Mike Golic Jr. on the other side. Now we will talk about basketball.
I peed my pants when I was 23.
How worried should the 76ers be about Joel Embiid?
All right, man, I'm about 40 years old right now. For my lifetime worth of experience, you tell me that there was a basketball game in Atlanta, in the playoffs no less, where a team went up 18 points and then ultimately blew the game in kind of heartbreaking fashion. There's no way you would have me believe that the Hawks were the ones to win the game.
Surprise.
But they were. Joel Embiid, second half, was 0 for 12. Now, this is after he had to go back into the locker room, and obviously his knee was not well. How do you know his knee was not well? This is what it looked like when he tried to win the game. Right here. Said after the game he had no lift. And as you can see, hey, is that Ben Simmons? I didn't know he played in the second half. I watched and didn't even see him out there at any point. And that second part goes to the first part, which is if Embiid's knee is at a place where he looks like he did in the second half, then the Sixers are in big trouble, because there's no way in the world they can win if Ben Simmons disappears for a full half. And that's even with a healthy Embiid. He is their superstar player. Embiid is. They are going to go as far as he can take them, and I just don't know how much farther we can expect him to take anything or anybody with his knee being the way that it is.
Right, because they've basically committed their season to focusing on Embiid. This team will go as far as he takes them, and I think it was a perfect example of what are we going to do without him yesterday, because he obviously went back to the locker room in the first half. He clearly wasn't himself. And in the second half, he was 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, all the way to 0 for 12 or whatever it was. And they still kept going to him. Why? Because they don't really have any other good options. You're not going to go to Tobias Harris in a very difficult spot in the playoffs. You're probably not going to go to Seth Curry, you know, great shooter and all that, great complimentary player. But you can't say, hey, go get us some buckets, which is why it's so disconcerting what's happening with Ben Simmons. He was out there in the fourth quarter at times and you just didn't even notice him. There's no way they're going to him. Like, you were more afraid that they were going to go to Hakabend than the Sixers were actually going to go to him in the post to try to pound away. So it just makes you wonder going forward, if they can get by this Atlanta team with a hobbled Joel Embiid, what do they have left really if Joel isn't close to 100% and he's not even close?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of this, Izzy, is what happens beyond this series. Because I look at what it took for the Hawks to get back into this game that was in Atlanta last night and say, all right, over a long course of this, I thought the Sixers would win at 7 at the start of this series. And if they manage to pull that off, where are they really? Because when you look out west at a situation that I think is in a lot of ways comparable, look what the Suns just pulled off. Chris Paul's shoulder was the story of the first round of the playoffs, and they just swept the Denver Nuggets in four. So now he's got even more time to rest an injury that surely is nowhere near all the way healed, same way as Embiid's. And so if you got to grind through this series right here, and you happen to get now maybe a Bucks team that comes out against a Nets team that's banged up, what are you really in a position to accomplish when your key piece is this beat up, because now this series got extended because you had critical opportunities to make a difference, and instead a lot of the role players got outworked by guys like John Collins on the other side for Atlanta.
Hey, man, what you think Doc Rivers says about Ben Simmons when, like, we not around? Because they figured out that they have to be very, very nice in the ways that they talk about him and not say anything that's even borderline negative. Remember that time that Brett Brown said he wanted Ben Simmons to take 1-3 a game and it was treated like he had offended the dude somehow? Because there's no way in the world that team can have a dude that is that talented and not be twice as frustrated as people who aren't invested in that team are at watching the way that Ben Simmons gets down. I don't care if the Sixers win or lose, and it drives me crazy. Imagine if my job was tied to this.
If Kawhi is healthy, should we be looking at the Clippers as the favorites in the West again?
Now, the thing about the question here is, like, if Kawhi is healthy, and to be honest, I don't know if Kawhi Leonard is ever healthy. Remember last year when the load management thing was coming up, the Clippers basically got an exemption from the league about him. Like, I think they have to do a significant level of maintenance just to keep him out there, right? Like, we're not ever going to see the 2017 Kawhi Leonard again. But the 2021 Kawhi Leonard is still pretty damn good. And these Clippers, look, man, they're built on the idea that they've got two guys who should be able to get their shots whenever they want to and should be as good, if not better, than probably the best player on the other team. And with a hobbled Donovan Mitchell, that's what this looks like right now for the Clippers. Like, they can absolutely get through this series if Mitchell's going to look the way that he looks. And if Kawhi Leonard is going to do things like this, like dunking on people is one thing. It's one thing when a dude just gets over there late. Derek Favors is a really good defensive player and a really big dude, and he didn't get caught slipping. He tried to go up, and Kawhi Leonard sent him back down to the ground before he could even get his arms up. Can we do that one more time, please?
Okay, let's do this for the rest of the show.
Yes! We don't have anything that's better than this. And the wildest part, all Favors did was inbound the ball, and all Kawhi did was turn around. Well, okay, he did stop and look at him for a little while, but Derek Favors is like, let us move on to game five, because if the game wasn't over then, it was over then.
My God in heaven. The best part about a moment like that is, because we talked about dunks before on this show, and when you got that kind of proximity of chest on chest, you know you're dealing with something highly disrespectful. But when it garners the reaction, do we have the video of Joel Embiid reacting to this in the Sixers press conference after the game? Because this is true respect.
I just felt like I didn't have it tonight. And of course you can kind of, oh my God.
Thank you,
Jeff. See, like, that's what Bo's talking about. We can have a whole show. You can have a whole press conference. None of it is good when something like that happens with Kawhi Leonard. Am I going to try and predict a Western Conference at this point? No. I mean, look at the NBA playoffs overall. Now that Kyrie Irving's going to miss game five in the Nets series, we have seven all-star players that have missed at least one game in this postseason. That's the most ever, and it doesn't even account for the Embiid stuff, the Kawhi stuff, the Donovan Mitchell stuff. And so if you're asking me to predict this or put money on anything, you're crazy. I'm going to sit here and just wait for someone to open up a can of you-know-what like Kawhi did again so I can do what Embiid did right there.
Let's take a second and run the tape back on that, because I'm 99% sure Golic was so excited about Embiid's reaction that he drooled a little bit, wiped it off, and just powered right through. So let's take a video of that. But when we talk about the Clippers here, and look, when I looked at this series against the Utah Jazz, I believe that this team, meaning the Clippers, were as set to defend the Jazz as anybody else, because you can keep Donovan Mitchell in front of you, or at least create problems for him, right? You can defend their pick and roll as well as anybody in the league if you're starting with Kawhi or Paul George on the ball. And so it's starting to come to fruition a little bit, although if Mike Conley was here, I think this would look entirely differently. Like, he runs that pick and roll to perfection. And this is one of those Dominique Foxworth theories that the healthiest team in the end is going to be the one holding the trophy. And this is one of those examples. If Mike Conley was around, this series would look a little bit different. But I do think if you project forward, let's say the Clippers can win this series. I know that's hard to project, right? But if you do that going forward, look who the Suns just faced. The Suns' backcourt of Chris Paul and Devin Booker are amazing. They also just faced in 3 out of 4 games a starting backcourt of Campazzo and Austin Rivers. So that's why they had a field day. But if you put them up against this Clippers defense, it's going to look different. And so I'm starting to wonder if they find their rhythm here in this series or continue to. Are the Clippers sort of the favorite in the West? And I think they might be. Not so much because Kawhi, because look, Kawhi can do this. I feel like even health-wise, he saves as much as possible for this final run. Like, even if he breaks at the end, he's going to get through to the end. You got to rely on Paul George a little bit. And I know that makes you nervous, Bo, but Paul George has been playing pretty well. And I think those two might be able to take this team to the finals. Go ahead.
You said a whole lot of stuff out loud that I would not say out loud, so you don't have to linger in it. Play that dunk again. Man, this is what the people want. Like, you realize Embiid just had that terrible game? You know his knee was killing him. Do you see how much joy this brought to his face? All you, a dunk is only worth 2 points, people.
And
ain't nobody
Derek
ever
Favors.
Been made that happy by a jumper.
Poor Derek Favors. Like, people don't normally just attack him, but because he's not Rudy Gobert, yeah, I'm going to go at you as hard as possible.
Up next on HQ.
All people are looking for when you watch the tape is effort. You can overcome a lot of mistakes with effort in situations like that. Prime example, being a former fat person playing offensive line, when you get an interception, I am not expected to make the tackle. What I am expected to do is get in the frame. When they click that on, they just need to see my number running near the person with the ball. When really, I'm just trying not to get blasted by somebody.
When you get crossed over in the NBA, you think they're like, oh, good effort, buddy, on the floor. No, they just point and laugh.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. Do you question if Markieff Morris has a good excuse for not coming to his brother's next game?
I just want to point out, I think I became aware of the Morris twins in 2008 when they went to Kansas, which means for 13 years, I've been trying to figure out which one of them is the good one. Still have no idea. Anyway, Marcus is the one who plays for the Clippers, and he was asked whether or not his brother, Markieff, would be going to the game in Utah, Game 5.
Marcus, any chance Markieff is going to come with you guys to Utah?
No, he won't be coming to Utah. He's, I don't know anybody that want to go to Utah. So he's just going, he's going to stick it out here in LA, and you know, we'll see him when we come back.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that was the thing. And those two dudes love each other. Like, anytime I see something with them, right? It was a little weird when they had all the same exact tattoos, but the affection they have is significant. There is no place that I do not think one of them would go for the other. Except for Utah.
We have seen the reception that family has gotten at certain times in Utah already this postseason. So
I'm so glad you spoke first, because I was about to stick up for Utah and Salt Lake and like a beautiful city and the ski resort and, you know, Dwayne Wade, his beautiful daughter was wearing a little Take Note t-shirt, an adorable little post, but John Morant's family, I think, is probably the experience more people are going to point to.
Yeah, so let me tell you something, though. Like, I saw John Morant's daddy and all that. He did not appear to be 6'8". I think the people of Utah, like, they might talk crazy to the 6'8 dudes when they on the floor. I would not do that to the 6'8 dude that's sitting right next to me, whose name is Markieff Morris.
Do you question if this was a good effort from the goalkeeper?
All right, we are going out to Euro 2020. It is Scotland versus the Czech Republic. I always like these little continental tournaments. It's where you see the soccer teams that ain't good enough to play in the World Cup. You realize that not everybody's really that good at this. So we go get a look at Scotland's goalie.
I mean, this was amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Like, well, I had seen this on social, and then like accidentally was running and watched the game on replay, didn't even realize it was the same game, and it happened, and I was just as amazed as if I'd seen it for the first time. But I gotta ask you this question. If you're the goalkeeper, do you go all in like that? Like, do you jump into the net like you want to be an onion all of a sudden just because you let that embarrassing goal go? Because I think you just kind of let it go. You just kind of let it, because there's a still frame of him stuck in that net that is probably never going to go away for the rest of his life. Like, somebody's just going to put that on his front lawn every single day when they're mad at him. I don't go that far. I'm sorry.
I think that's exactly what you do in this play, because all people are looking for when you watch the tape is effort. You can overcome a lot of mistakes with effort in situations like that. Prime example, being a former fat person playing offensive line, when you get an interception, I am not expected to make the tackle. What I am expected to do is get in the frame. When they click that on, they just need to see my number running near the person with the ball. When really, I'm just trying not to get blasted by somebody.
When you get crossed over in the NBA, you think they're like, oh, good effort, buddy, on the floor. No, they just point and laugh.
But I contend that effort is what got this dude in trouble in the first place. Like, I don't fully understand the minutia of soccer strategy, but that dude is the goalkeeper, and he sure seemed to be really far away from the goal. like whatever overachieving
stuff he was doing. Protect your house, man. Where are you?
That's what I'm saying. All that overachieving he was doing, having him out there, is the problem. If he had been lazy and just stayed in the back, this wouldn't have happened. Like, what was he trying to do?
Goalkeepers had to run that far. Jeez.
I ain't either. What was he backing up home plate? Be a soccer player and flop. Grab that hammy. Hit the ground.
See, you're confusing him. He's not a soccer player. He's a goalie. There is a big difference.
He should have played some soccer. Up next on HQ.
What are they doing, tennis? New balls, please. Like, I'm not touching that thing. That's mad. He got sent down after that, by the way. So he just wasn't ready.
I'd be like, yo, get that man a COVID test. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? He's throwing up at work. We got to find out what's the bottom of that. Go to your intrigue.
Very intrigued. To someone who puked before every football game I ever started.
Tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Game 5, Bucks and Nets.
Oh, yeah, all in on this one. James Harden, a game-time decision. And now here's Kevin Durant saying, you know, what it's going to take tonight.
Yesterday, after Kyrie went down, it seemed like you had to play point forward and initiate the offense the rest of the game and let people play off of you. Do you anticipate playing a similar role in Game 5?
Yeah, I picture me doing everything out there, just like I do every night.
I mean, I imagine that Kevin Durant every night is ready to do whatever it is that you ask him to do. And let me tell you, he doesn't really have like that signature game, right? Right or wrong, I'm not saying that's an indictment on him, but we don't have that game that we point to as like, yo, that's the Kevin Durant game. That game could be tonight if the Nets mess around and win. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm more so intrigued by the James Harden portion of it because, you know, you look at this and you say, all right, we've seen guys try to come back too early from injuries. I know a hamstring's not as severe as Kevin Durant's injury was a few years ago, but it just makes me wonder why they're pushing it in this game, in this series. When you, like, if I'm James Harden, are you projecting, hey, if it's just me and you, KD, we're going to win this thing? Like, I'd say go ahead and give that guy one more game, and at least if he comes back sort of heroic, at least be down in the series, not tied.
They know about the other guys on the roster better than we do. That's all I'm saying. Golic, you intrigued?
I am intrigued, less so on the net side, because we know that Kevin Durant is capable of a lot of those things, even if we haven't seen the Kevin Durant game. I am more interested to see the response from PJ All Ball Tucker after the last couple games of this series, because I jokingly said teams take on the personality of their superstar, and the Bucks just took on the personality of PJ Tucker for the last couple games, and it's kind of worked so far. So I just want to see what he keeps trotting out.
Yo, you know, we think about, like, players and they're suspended and they just sit at the house and they mad watching the game like they in it. You think Kevin Durant's security guard, every time they would start muscling Durant now, is just sitting at the screen like, let me at him, let me at him.
Tonight at 7:07 p.m. Eastern, Yankees and Blue Jays.
Yo, Vladimir Guerrero has got to be also what about me every time y'all talk about Fernando Tatis Jr., right? Like, my daddy played in the major leagues. Hall of Famer, in fact. What'd his daddy ever do? Two grand slams in one inning. Anyway, here's Guerrero, who's leading the American League in all triple crown categories, doing stuff like this.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Bow.
Woo, big smooth.
I just want to say his daddy could have hit it that far on a ball in the dirt, and I don't even really think I'm exaggerating when I say that. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, yes, I'm not going to watch the game, but yes, I'm intrigued by Vlad Jr. And it's jarring every time because it just looks like his dad. Like, everything about it looks the same, and it just sort of makes you, like, pinch yourself and be like, wait, what year is this?
Yeah, except he wears batting gloves. Like, his dad looked like he had the most callous hands in the history of mankind. Golic, you intrigued?
Yeah, I appreciate that Vladdy Jr. is just good old-fashioned big here. There's not a lot of polish to it. It's not a lot of big muscles to it. It's just big everywhere in this. So, yes, I am intrigued to see if the juniors and the rest of this young talent in baseball can really go out here and outshine all the sticky stuff that's getting washed off these baseballs right now by Major League and try and make that a little less of a headline for them.
Tonight at 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Tigers and Royals.
All right, man, the Tigers are like Silky Johnson's coat, man. Anyway, Bo Burrows, he is a pitcher for them, where he had one appearance with them, came up from the minor leagues. Here he is being having his performance in front of some fans.
Oh, whoa. No. Oh, yo.
Oh,
yep.
No. Oh,
yo.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
It was a slow buildup, too. He tried so hard. Oh,
wow.
My God.
Wow. Look, I'm sorry, man. If the fans don't throw up watching the Tigers, you're not allowed to do so in a uniform. And, I mean, you know how humbling it's got to get sent back to the minor leagues? They look like a AAA team. Izzy, you going to be all right? Can you demonstrate intrigue?
Like, I'm not intrigued by that. If I'm the catcher, I'm like, what are they doing, tennis? New balls, please? Like, I'm not touching that thing. He got sent down after that, by the way. So he just wasn't ready.
I'd be like, yo, get that man a COVID test. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You throwing up at work. We got to find out what's the bottom of that. Golic, you intrigued?
Very intrigued. As someone who puked before every football game I ever started, you got to have a little bit better understanding of yourself in that moment there. But I recall something even deeper than that. Mike Tomlin in a preseason game when I was with the Steelers, a bunch of us rookies were over there, gassed up, ready to go, saying, coach, put me in and all that stuff. And he looked dead at all of us and said, all right, but when I do, none of y'all better pee down your leg in this. And that is the other version of that, the top shelf version of going out there and peeing down your leg.
All right, that's our show. Izzy Gutierrez without a fake background. It throws me off. I don't even know what to tell you about him. But Mike Golic Jr., check him out. ESPN Radio, 4-7 Eastern, Chiney and Golic.
The right time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcast.